Alright, God bless you guys. I'm going to pass the Charles Donalds here at Harvard Central Life Church. Harvard Central Life Church, Leo Church, the city of Dallas. We're going to get moving here in just a moment. We're going to actually be in the area of Luke Kings, chapter 7, dealing with Elijah, the work he did with the woman of God, about the measure of flour, and some of the things that she had to challenge with. And she would continue to believe in God, about the process of God being her provider. We're going to look at the process over through Psalms, Numbers 23, 19 to 21. We'll talk about how God is always bringing a sure word to come from the kingdom of God. But prepare ourselves here in just a moment to get ourselves in position. I have about 30 minutes with you guys this morning. Don't forget to join the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, on this morning at 9:45 a.m. to get ourselves in position to bring the word that's come from the kingdom as well. But we're going to see what the woman of God in this area, the woman of God in this area of book of Numbers 23, not well, 2 Kings 7 says about this process when the prophet Elijah came along and began to just show up on her about the sure word that comes from the kingdom of God. First, I want to take our Bible and look over in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. As we turn over there, we're going to open up with prayer. We're going to hear what the word of God is speaking this morning concerning that, which is always coming from the kingdom of God. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you, Father God, on this morning as we go forth and hear what you have to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. We declare the word, we declare it, we speak it according to the kingdom of God. We know that no weapon created, none designed, and none engineered and shall preach to your prophets, shall prosper in this season that we're in. Father, we ask you to illuminate the word, transform it and change it, make it a reality in our lives that we may know and understand and realize that you are God, and beside you there's no other. These things we speak not of ourselves, but the word of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. Amen. Well, let's first look over in the book of Numbers. Look at the book of Numbers. Turn it with me in Numbers. We're looking at the King James Version. We're going to look at a few different other Bibles. At this point in time, we're not going to go too in-depth, but we're going to get a surface on this. But we're going to get enough information out of these particular scriptures that we're going to let you know from these particular chapters to let you know that, you know, God's a sure word that's always coming from the kingdom of God. You know, the book of Mark 9:23 talks about the believer. If I could just believe that all things are possible to him that believe, and God will continue to show himself to be approval in that area in which the believer entrusts in. That's like a Numbers 23:19-21. Let's go over there right quick and let's see what the word of God is saying this morning. And let's look at the 18th verse. The Bible says over in the 18th verse of Numbers 23:18, and he took out the parable and he said, "Rise up, blanket, and hear, hearken unto the son of Zippor. God is not a God that he should lie, not a son of a man that he should have to repent." Now let's take a look at that process just right there, how he makes himself sure in what he's about to bring forth to Zippor during the course of the time that he's speaking to him in a situation that's taking place over there. He said, "God is not a man. He's not a man. He's not like me and you. We got the potential. We got kings ask God to help us. Some of the things we deal with, going through our proclivities in life, because we're not perfect. We understand and realize that we're not a perfect people, that we're constantly working out our soul of salvation to meet the requirements that God so desires for us as we are here on earth. But God comes back and he said, when you have me in your life, you got to believe that I'm the God that's going to give you the true answers, show you the true way as you go through what we seem to be the shadows of the valleys of death. You know, the peaks, the bottoms, the ups and downs, those roller coasters that we roll with dealing with the flesh, because we know the Holy Spirit is never a waving spirit. It constantly moves in the same direction. We got to move up to its level and continue to see that we stay there, knowing that we put all our trust in God. And we lean not to our own understanding, it says in Proverbs 3:5, but we acknowledge him in all his way, and he will show us and direct us our path. The word of God declares decrees over here in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. God is not a man. First of all, he separates himself from the point of being anything like us, because he's our creator. We've been made in the image of him. We know about the fall that took place in the garden. So in that particular incident, all sin rippled throughout the earth. But now here comes the new Adam, which is named Jesus Christ. And the word of God declared he died on the cross for the remission of every one of our sins. Well, what is that saying, Apostle? that we all got something in our life that got the potential to fall short of what God declared and have us to be while we're on earth. That's why we put all our trust in him, and we lean not to our own. And we acknowledge God in all his ways, and then he gives us a pathway direction. That means when things seem like they're not moving in the right direction, what we have to do is trust in him. Let him continue to show us and direct us and guide us in the way we have to go, that we may know and understand that he's now in a position to be that what it is, our actual leader or our way maker, as it says in the book of Jeremiah 29:11. You know, God knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for me and you, and they're good and not of evil. The expectancy that when we trust in God, we know our future events and things that we ask God for is guaranteed. So he makes himself very clear in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. God is not a man that he should lie, now the son of a man that he should have to repent. He has said it, and should he not, what, bring it to pass? No, has he said it, and has he not done it? Or has he said, and should he not do it? Or has he spoken, and should not make it good? Now he tells you, behold, I have received a command and a commandment to bless, and I cannot and will not reverse it. The King James Version says, I have received a commandment to bless, and he has blessed. I mean, it's already. The blessing is already there for you. All you got to do is believe. We talk about the man on the Mount Transfiguration. Well, Jesus was on Mount Transfiguration, and the man was down there, had the demonic son. And we know about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those are probably of that particular council, was down there discussing things with his actual group, which is Jesus goes down and makes it very plain and clear that the disciples are not ready. If there's discussion about the healing and casting out a demonic spirit that's in this young boy, knowing that the Messiah was always there with them. In other words, the sufficiency, you know what I'm saying? The perpetuation is already there among you. It's showing you how you need to operate in the work of the kingdom of God. You shouldn't be even discussing anything with them, but showing the power of illumination that whatever's in the life of this young boy is already been done just on the commands of your word. Speak it, Romans 4:17, over his life. And call things in his life that be not what they were. So God makes it very clear. The command has been given. The command has been given. And it's already in your possession. What you have to do is, man, what God, you have to believe. Behold, in the 20th verse, behold, I have received a commandment to bless. That's a command to bless. That means God says, I have to bless you according to my word and what I have said. My commandment is on your life. When you believe and know who I am, that I'm a God, that I should not lie, and I'm not a son of a man, that I should have to repent. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. Now, you got to walk upright, according to Psalms 84:11, but you got to believe the commands of God. It's not a command that he will take back. You see, he has received the command, him, and he can and will not reverse it. Let's look at the 19th verse once again. God is a man. God is not a man, that he should lie. He makes it very clear. Man will lie to you. It doesn't matter what position he's in, who he is, and what he say he is. The sure word comes through the kingdom of God. And the sure word comes to you when you believe. The word of God say to him that believeth, all things are possible to the believer. He makes it very clear in Jeremiah 32:17. He makes it so clear that he says, I am a God. It's above all gods. Is there anything too hard for me to do? With my stretched out arms, I created the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for a creator, a design, and an engineer to do in your life? What you got to do, you got to jump on Mark 9:23. You got to believe and declare and decree that God has already given a commandment over your life to bless you in ways that you can't imagine and even understand. When you get yourself up to where you need to be, and believe that the plan that God has for you, Jeremiah 29:11, whatever valley you're going through, God has already gave a command. If you obey his commands, his statutes, and his commandments, you will continue to move forward in all flourishing ways in your life. There's nothing too hard for God to do. Whether you're dealing with things in your physical body, he speaks the very word over in Jeremiah 32:27. He said, I'm the creator of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Goes back to the area of scripture we just read. Numbers 23:19-21. Am I of God that I should lie? Or am I a son of a piece of flesh? Something that's walking around here on earth, got to continue to trust and believe in Christ who died for the remission of our sins, that he became a perpetuation for everything that he's the navigate. He's the go-between, whenever we get weak and what we can't do. And we got to declare and decree that we got to put all of our trust in God because he's the one that cared for us, knowing that he sent his son, Christ, to die on the cross for what? The remission of our sins, to bring us out of whatever it is that we may fall short on as being humans and walking in human form. Word of God declares and decrees. He goes back over to the book of 2 Kings as we transfer here. We look at the word in the book of 2 Kings as we kind of settle in here just a minute. Got 30 minutes, but we're going to bring it to you straight. We're not going to give you a performance. We're going to tell you what the word of God is saying here. The word of God says in 2 Kings, in the King James Version, in that chapter 7, then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. The Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a fine flour be sold for a shekel, and a measure of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Now, when we go back in the story, we know when we look at 2 Kings, even in the 5th chapter, we know they were so bad in Samaria that they was eating each other's babies. We know the king walked down the wall. The woman made a contribution with him in the 5th chapter about the process. Let me eat your son today and we eat mine tomorrow. But she duped him. The family was so bad in Samaria that they was eating each other's kids. That a donkey head, just a whole donkey head, was sold for about $1 million. This is how bad the things was going on in Samaria. So the word God said once again, in 2 Kings and 7, then Elijah said, hear ye. Now, this is the word of a commanding of what God has said. Remember what he said in Numbers 23:19-21. He's not going to lie to you. Man will lie to you. But God's got a sure word that comes from the kingdom of God. Listen to me, man and woman of God. Listen how this unfolds according to the word of God in Numbers 23:19-21. The command has been given to bless. And it can and will not reverse. He goes on and makes a sure word of his sayings in the scriptures through the prophets and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really now moving because it was there in the book of Genesis. It was already there moving, waiting for the authority of the power of the moving of the Father to give it a command of what he should do. In this particular scripture, it talks about these leper guys who sat at the gate, couldn't do no fighting. And if anybody know anything about leprosy, and how it does the body, limbs rot off and break off. They can't do nothing. God will use something totally incomplete to complete his assignment. That means when something is going on in your life and you don't quite understand how it's happening, in the name of Jesus, the power of God will move in the midst of whoever is willing to bring that position in that area of whatever that dilemma may be to fruition. Let me look at this. Let's look at this. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word. Remember, saying God is a word. His word, God's not a God that he shall lie. God said he'll exalt his word above his name. So notice what he's saying. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Who's speaking here? Who's speaking here? The prophet of Elijah is given the prophetic word over Samaria through the word of God. Now, he's the one here on earth is bringing the word to fruition. You know, the word of God declares, according to Amos 3, he said that the word don't come into the land and what God reveals it through the prophet. Elijah is a prophet here and the mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. The same thing with you. When God uses you to do the work here on earth, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will indwell in you. That make the assignment complete here on earth that God has already planned for the life of that individual or the situation for that individual. The word of God comes to him over in verse 7 of 2 Kings and 7. Look what he says in chapter 7. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord tomorrow. He's given a prophecy. Tomorrow about this time shall be a measure of fine flour. I'm going to feed them. So for a shekel, a measure of barley, for a shekel, look here, in a phantom land, a way that don't even seem like it's possible for food to come in. They're eating each other's baby. Chaos is going on. Everything is broken out, and it's like a haywire going on down up in there. People are starving. No doubt my mind is fussing and fighting and going on. Probably a lot of death took place then if they didn't get ate. Because these people are in a position they're going to turn into cannibalism. Because now it's a phantom in the land. And the word of God brings forth a prophet and speaks in the life of this particular city. And tell this particular city, tomorrow about this time, there should be a measure of a shekel of flour sold inside the gates of Samaria. And he perfects the word. Then the Lord, who the hand the king leaned, answered and said to the man of God, behold, the Lord would make a window in heaven. Might this thing be? In other words, he didn't believe it. It's amazing when God takes something that don't look like what it got to take to get an overflow for the kingdom of God. To believe you will make you understand that he's in control, that he don't have to have the most uprighteous, the most educated in my veil with somebody, that God will use anybody who's willing to be able to follow the commands and the structures and what he has in place. You can have all the degrees you want. You can have all the rings and robes and collars and what you want. But when God begins to move on a man of God, a woman of God, who's faithful to his word, the Bible says, I'll take up foolish things, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, around that first chapter, that 28 and 27 verse. And he said, I will confound the wise of the man here on earth that make what they believe foolish. That's the power of God. That's the illumination of God. When he transforms his word in such a way that he makes it known to the believer that he's always in control and you're just an instrument. And the way you can become the part of the instrument use of the kingdom of God is beginning to bow down to the Lord and begin to confess that there's nothing you're able to do unless God comes into your life and show you the direction and the plan that he has for you. Am I somewhere? God is not a God that he should lie, and not a son of any man that he should have to repent. He has been given a commandment to bless, and he can and will not reverse it. That's the power of God. The word of God said this particular handmaid, or this particular leader that was actually a part of this particular facility or this particular area of Samaria, came to the man of God and said, if God was to make a window in heaven, would this thing be? Well, the prophet comes back with a strong word, considering who he is. This is why you got to understand, when God gives you a word, doesn't matter what the demon and the devil tell you. You got to know what God told you. Goes back to the word of God, and I don't want to get too lengthy on this, because I will, because I feel a power of God moving in it. Because you go back to the book of 1 Kings, in that 13th chapter and verse, you see the word of God coming in the scene once again by the authoritation of his word, or by the authority of his word, in the hands and entrusted of a man that believes in what he said can happen for him. Am I there? The Bible said, him that believeth all things are possible. The word God comes to the young prophet over there in 1 Kings 13. I got to get out of here because I know I'm moving on some other things. But the young prophet goes to believe another old prophet who had the same ability that he had, but he wouldn't forsake his life, or he forsook him, the very covenant that he had, or the very blessing that he had, and he sold out and turned his back on God. But when he saw the work of the power of the Holy Spirit working through the young prophet, wishing that he could have had the same thing, he began to go to the young prophet and begin to reverse the word of God and lie to him about how the angel came to him and spoke to him as well about the way he should go. But in this particular story, that's another story there. I'm going to stay with this right here. The word of God says over here in the book of 2 Kings, in that particular 7th chapter, in that particular 2nd verse, then the Lord, who the hand that the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leper men. This is the power of God. There were four leper who was at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And the Bible declared the creed. They began to utter a word through the Spirit. And the Bible says, and they said to that four leper man that was sitting there at the gate of the entrance of Samaria, they said, if we say we will enter into the city, they measuring things out. They really using some common sense here. They're using their spiritual sense. If we will say we will enter into the city, then the phantom is in the city. Well, I don't want to go in there either. I mean, we already in a destitute position. We already messed up in our bodies, but we yet believe in God for a miracle. Sometimes when you're going through a critical situation in your life, you yet have to believe God that's going to come through for you, no matter how bad your situation may be. God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far you down in the hole. God will pump light down to you to bring you up if you believe him. The word of God declares right here, and then it said at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, the Bible declared the decree. He said, if we enter into the city, the phantom is in the city. We should die there. And if we still sit here, we should die also. Sounds reasonable to me. Now they'll come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. Listen to me, man and woman of God. Sometimes the enemy is going to be the one that's going to bless you. The Bible declares you got to be careful how you treat your enemies, because you're going to never know what God is going to do for you in the life that you're living. The very person who persecutes you and treats you bad may be the very one who will lift you up and bless you. You don't have time in the life that you're living to have anger, upset, be mad, and been bamboozled about things that's going on around you. You're going to have to trust God in the midst of all your calamities, your situations, your subverts, and believe and trust in God that what the word of God declares, he will make your enemy your footstool. Believe God and so shall the words of God come forth in your life. Trust in his prophets and so shall you prosper. The Bible says that he said over here in this particular area of scripture, we gather ourselves back in position. I don't want to get to I don't want to get all that stuff going. But he says in Syria, he says, so let us get up and go into the host of Syria. If they save us alive, look here, we should live. These brothers gambling, but they believing and trusting in God. We should live. If they kill us, we should die. And they rose, the Bible said they got up at twilight about 4 in the morning. The Bible said they got, it says in the 5th verse, and they rose up in twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. I'm going to go right up in the enemy's head, in the enemy. I'm going to get blessed in the enemy's house. Now, you got to be a pretty bad brother or sister to know that you can go up in the devil's house and he got to bless you. Long as you know you got the Holy Ghost rolling with you, it doesn't matter. Because the power of God moves in its sufficiency to him that believe. Let's think about that. God is not a God that he should lie. And he's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. God will put you in an impossible situation. He'll lead you according to Isaiah 55, 8, 9, and 10. The Bible declares the word that my ways, your ways, my thoughts, your thoughts, my plans, your plans, as far as from the heavens, from the earth. You take that same scripture, you bring it back around, and you go to 1 Corinthians in that 28 and 27 verse. God said, I will take the foolishness of man's wisdom, or the importance of man's wisdom and what he believes is so right in his own eyesight. And I use something so dumb and so ignorant to the point that it don't even seem right. And I mesmerize the mind of any one of them. And I bring what they plan has here on earth to nothing. But what I use to let them know that I'm yet in control. The Bible declares and decrees, they got up. And they went and not looking for a blessing in the enemy camp, but according to their faith and their belief in the words they said before they went in the enemy camp. They entrusted in God. They said, if we go in here, we might lie. We might die. And if we don't go in, we might live. They might catch us. They might catch something. Whatever it is, going into the enemy's camp ain't no good. But let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. When it seems like it camped all around you, it don't seem like you know which way you need to go. Baby, look here. When you put your trust in God, and am I there? And you lean not to your own understanding. Hold on, somebody. But you begin to acknowledge God in all his ways, and God will begin to perfect your path. God will lead you through the midst of the shadows of what seems to be the valley of death. Am I there? God will give you a plan to supersede far beyond more than you can imagine or even understand. He's a God that he should not lie. He's not a son of any man or woman that he should have to repent. He's been given a commandment to bless, and he can and will not revoke. God has got the power to move into whatever it may be that's going on in your life. The Bible said these men rose up at twilight. They're going into the camp of the Syrians. And when they was coming, the uttermost parts of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was a sound. The man seemed like there was men running and moving. Well, when you look at the perfecting of the story, and you look at just the not paraphrasing, he said, and they rose up at twilight to go into the camp of Syria. And when they came to the utter parts of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord, listen to me, for the Lord, not man, for the Lord has made the host of Syria to hear the noise of chariots, noise of horses, even the noise of great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Baby, they got out of town. It wasn't nothing even there. God will cause something to happen in your life that you don't even understand or know about that make a way from you. Because God said he's not a God that he should lie. Baby, when you walk with God, commands and statutes and there's all his precepts. God got a word for you and he got a way for you in your life. Am I in there with anybody? God got a plan according to Jeremiah 29:11. When he gives you a vision, you don't have to worry about the vision falling to anywhere other than what God said it would be. You got to trust in God. Put all your trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding. On this morning when you get ready to go out to the house of God, know why you're going in the house of God. It's not the place that you're going to just for showmanship. It's not the place you go to look good with your stiletto on, your nice suit on, your shiny shoes, and your bald head. But you're coming there because you're sick. You're coming there because you got a problem and you need to deal with it. Don't go to the altar with a broken cistern. That when you leave out of the house of God, not receiving the proper word of the God, then the cares of the world begin to snatch the word of God up out of your life. You got to move, man and woman of God, and you got to believe and declare that in your life, the plan that God has for you is really more than what you can see. Father God, I thank you. I bless you for these men and women of God as we continue to go off the air. We thank you for this gospel broadcast as a woman of God preparing herself to come up at 9:45 to hear the word of God that comes from the kingdom of God. Oh, Father God, I'm just so thankful that you give me the opportunity to go forth and do the work you called me. Knowing to you, Father God, that everything and all things has already been made possible. Father God, I'm asking you to look over the man and woman, God, as they go out the door today to whatever place they may be and let them have a heart of being sincere. That it's not a place to go meet the friends and the family, this, that, and the other, but come to you, Father God, in such a way that they know they got something in their life that needs to be corrected, that you may use them in the way that they may be used. And Father God, for those who don't have a place to go this morning, let them tune in to HLC. And wherever it may be, Father God, that they may get an engrafted word that will help them move forward in their life in the season in which they're in. I declare the word of God, I decree it by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that even as they begin to move, Father God, it'll be more than they ever see in their entire life. Lord, bless the hearts and the minds of your people on this morning, that they may know and realize that you are in control. Besides you, there is no other, because you are the only God in heaven. Rule and reign over all things and everything that's created. You are God, and besides you, there's no other. I thank you, Father God, for their life. I thank you, Father God, for everything you're doing with them in this season that they're in. Father God, touch them and bless them. Give them the strength that they need as they go forth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. Amen.